Good morning. Good morning. It would be helpful if you could keep your Bibles open at that Exodus passage and let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for your word and pray that you would open our eyes and ears to what you would say to us this morning, both as individuals and as a church here at St. Nick's. Amen. Now, if I ask you to think of a friend, who do you think of? Perhaps you think of a friend who's known you since childhood, or a more recent friend with whom you share an interest. There are friends with whom you only share the everyday or opinions, and others, probably a smaller number, with whom you can share virtually anything about your family, your plans, your hopes, your failures, and you know you'll still be accepted. You may now live a long way from your good friends, but when you meet, it's like you've never been apart. If you're like me, you probably have young friends, older friends, quirky friends, friends who think like you do, friends you love dearly but who can drive you to distraction too. Present company accepted, of course. In verse 11 of this chapter, just before today's reading, we read that the Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. Whenever the Israelites set up camp, it was Moses' habit to pitch a tent some distance away, outside the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. Moses went there regularly to meet with God, and so their friendship grew. As we continue today in our sermon series on prayer, this story gives one definition. Prayer is like a conversation with a friend. And if that's the case, it makes me feel that I can probably pray. Because, as my husband will tell you, I'm very capable of talking. Sometimes when I come off the phone to my mum, he'll ask me what we talked about, and many times I haven't got a clue. But it has taken up a 30-minute phone call. If prayer is like a conversation with a friend, then that probably means that it covers all those different levels. The ordinary, the everyday, the exciting things, the failures, the achievements, the worries and the pain, as well as the joys. Being with a friend involves listening too, of course, or even sitting together in silence. Perhaps it's that we're less good at when it comes to our friendship with God. Having been shown that Moses went frequently to meet with the Lord, our reading today draws us into one such meeting. And how Moses prays on this occasion can, I believe, help us with how we should pray. The story so far is that Moses has been called by God to bring his people out of Egypt, where they were in slavery, and to lead them to a new land. He leads them from Egypt in a miraculous way, as the Red Sea parts, and they become a people on the move, living years in the desert towards the promised land. A chapter or so before today's reading, Moses is so long up the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments that the people start to get impatient, and they ask Moses' brother Aaron to make them another god. So Aaron melts down the gold they bring. He creates a gold statue in the shape of a calf, and this becomes the god that they worship. Because of this incident, and as they get ready to move on towards the land God has promised, God says that he will not now go with them, because he's so fed up with them that he might destroy them on the way. The idea of God not going with them is really distressing to the people. And it's in the context of that upset and uncertainty that we listen in on Moses' prayer time. But before we look at the prayer itself, we see in these events some principles about prayer. Firstly, we can see that if we want to grow in friendship with God, personal prayer must be a priority, whether we're in leadership like Moses or not. Jesus said that we must remain in him as he remains in us. We cannot bear fruit unless we do. Maybe you're pretty good at carving out regular time to pray, but I know that my plans can all too easily be scuppered by the morning rush, demands of children or dog or deadlines or thoughts about what we should have for tea, or by simply feeling too busy to pray, and chances are I'll get through the day okay anyway. A bit like Moses here, it's often feelings of despondency or a need for reassurance that really draws me into that conversation with God. We all need to find a time and a place where for a short while we can be undisturbed and alone with God. Jesus encouraged us, a bit like Moses, that when we pray, and it's when, not if, we should take ourselves off somewhere, shut the door, and go and pray in secret. Get away from the distractions of work or home, the phone, the sound of emails arriving, the demands of others. There is a story about Susanna Wesley in the late 17th century, and she was the mum of Charles and John Wesley, who founded the Methodist movement. Life was a struggle, and in a busy household of 10 children, there was little chance to get away to pray in peace and quiet. So instead, she advised her children that when they saw her with her apron over her head, that meant she was in prayer and couldn't be disturbed. So she made prayer a priority in the midst of everything else. And the same is true, of course, of us as a church. No church is ultimately effective if it has not made prayer a priority. Which is why the PCC wanted to do something intentional in the form of our week of prayer next month. Another principle we learn is that Moses' prayer is based on God's word, on what God has already promised. Moses does not hide his need for reassurance, and he has a question as to who God will send with him this time, because Aaron wasn't much help. But this is within the context of what God has done. Moses comes to the Lord reminding God that he, Moses, has been called to lead this people, and that God said he knew Moses by name. He was chosen for a purpose. To be known by name is to be known as a person, a unique individual. There is no friendship without knowing someone by name. And today we've named John before God, a name that means God has shown favor. And of course we pray for him that he will come to know God and that favor for himself. The foundation from which Moses prays is God's call on his life, that God knows his name and takes pleasure in him, what he already knew of God. And the same is true for us. We are not begging for action from a God who is distant. We come into a loving God's presence and we share everything with him. And for us, it's through Jesus that we find that favor with God, through his death on the cross and allowing him to save us from all that we do wrong. We remind ourselves of God's love and grace for us as we come, and from there we launch into prayer. And I think in Moses' prayer there are two really good pegs for all our prayers. And the first one is in verse 13. Teach me your ways. Teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. It's a prayer for ongoing closeness and to know God in a deep sense. Teach me your ways, Moses says. Not this is what I want. He prays for his life to be within God's plan and purposes. It's the same for us. We need to pray, teach me your ways, Lord, in every area of our lives. Teach me your ways in my work life, in my marriage, in my other relationships. Teach me your ways in how I spend my money, in how I use my skills and my time. Teach us your ways, Lord, as a church, that we may truly know you and what you want us to do, how we tell others of you, how we reach out to those in need, how we do church together. May we do it your way. Moses isn't told anything specific about the next stage of God's plan, but his prayer is answered. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest, says verse 14. God's presence with Moses answers his need for someone to go with him. And God's presence reassures Moses that God has not forsaken his people. They are still on the right track. Moses presses the point again in the next verse. If your presence doesn't go with us, do not send us up from here. Moses would rather stay in the desert than get into the promised land and find that they've left God behind. God's presence is the evidence that he is pleased with his people, and it's what makes his people distinct from any other people on the face of the earth. Moses' words make a good prayer. Lord, if your presence does not go with me, do not send me up from here. I prayed it a few years ago when I thought God might be calling me to a different way of life and be ordained. It was an expression of wanting only to take a step if it was what God wanted, to walk in his ways, rather than it being merely an idea of my own. Even though in my case, I did actually hope it was an idea I'd come up with. It's a good prayer for our church activity too. We must bring our work, our plans, and our life together to the Lord with an open hand, and he will confirm his leading to us. If we proceed with something and then have no sense of his presence with us, then we should stop and come back to him, praying again, teach us your ways. For unless the Lord builds the house, the people labour in vain, as we've heard already. As Moses said, it is God's presence that makes us distinct as the people of God, that makes us different from any other club in Newbury. If we're walking in his purpose with the presence of his Spirit, there will be evidence of God in us for those outside the church, the way we welcome, the way we support each other, the way we stand against the flow of our culture, and the way broken lives are restored. Lord, teach us your ways. And secondly, Moses prays in verse 18, show me your glory. And Moses has a very definite physical experience of God's glory. God hides Moses in a gap in the rock as his glory passes by. He hears God's voice and sees something of his nature and his character. It must have been an amazing and awesome experience, enough to keep Moses going for a good while. Perhaps like him, you've had an experience of God when you've known him with you so close you could almost touch him. Or you've been worshipping with thousands of other Christians and it feels like a taste of heaven. Or when something in the Bible just speaks right into your current situation and you know it was a word from God for you. Perhaps you've been to Spring Harvest or New Wine or Lee Abbey or found God when you're walking in creation. And you just don't want to come back to normal life. Well, all these experiences are to renew us so that we can go on serving God, for in showing us something of his glory, in showing Moses something of his glory, God gave him something that wasn't just an experience, but was long lasting. Because as his glory passes by, God declares his goodness and his mercy, his compassion and his forgiveness. His glory is in his character. We find his glory as we focus on who he is. And we can see his glory when people find peace or they experience forgiveness. The New Testament also tells us that we see God's glory in Jesus. The Word became flesh, John says, and pitched his tent among us, a reminder of Moses again. We have seen his glory, and he is full of grace and truth. Take a close look at Jesus, and you will see God's glory. Glory revealed in his miracles, in his teaching, in his death and his resurrection. May God help us to see his glory. May we know more of who he is, And may that cause us to worship him in a deeper way together on a Sunday and in how we live our lives all week. So Moses gives us two prayers today. Lord, teach us your ways and show us your glory. Pretty good pegs to hang our prayers on, both as a church and as individuals. Much was to go on to happen with Moses and the people. They worked together in new ways. They joyfully gave resources to build a temporary place of worship, which the glory of the Lord filled. But the key to it all was Moses back in the tent of meeting, alone with the Lord, as they spoke face to face, just like friends. Let's pray. Lord, teach us your ways. Lord, show us your glory. And may we know your presence with us as we go, as individuals and as a church. Amen.